And to the Gerwitzes, thank you very much for that offertory. And I think you folks should probably be singing about 10 or 11 tonight. Never mind the presentation, brother. Amen. And praise the Lord. It's good. Good stuff. How many of you have figured out that as you move from childhood into adulthood, that one of the most important aspects of a mature life is learning to develop and implement proper priorities? Priorities. Organization and prioritization are double doors that lead to success in any endeavor, really. The older you get, the more life revolves around priorities. Having proper priorities. You think about your job. What is the priority there in your job? Well, you think about the main priorities: to make a living. To make a living. Why? Well, to provide for my family, because I have a mortgage and we need food in the cupboards and all that. And then think about priorities when you're at the job. The priority is hard work. Promptness. Somebody help me preach a little bit. Promptness. Amen. Initiative. You know, you say, what's initiative? I remember Pastor Donald doing King Josiah's Club, not this summer, but last summer, and my boys came home, and what Pastor Donald did was he took the name King Josiah, and each letter he used it as an acronym. And I think it was the second week, I was initiative. And I asked my boys, I said, boys, what'd you learn about today? And they said, initiative. And I said, what is initiative? And they said, doing right without being asked. Hey, let me tell you something, young people and older people on the job, that'll set you apart when the layoff axe comes down the line. Initiative. You know what? This person, we didn't ask them to do this, but they were done with their daily tasks and they did this, did the work of two people. I think we ought to keep them. Amen. That's a priority. You know, something that we don't think about very much, I guess the older we get, we think a little bit more about it, is rest. You know, if you don't prioritize rest, you'll rest for a very long time. Dr. Malone used to say that a lot. We'd say, Dr. Malone, you tired? He said, I've been tired ever since I got saved, and I'll get all the sleep I need when I'm dead. That's what he said, amen. But, you know, think about it. If you don't rest, you won't be able to get to your job, do a good job, take initiative. Think about, obviously, family time, spending time with and influencing your family. What's the priority there? Well, I think of the biblical command, Brother Lawley, that as fathers, we're not to provoke our children to wrath, but we're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Think about that. Hey, wife and mom, trying to do it all, you know, you realize that you have to prioritize the duties of the home, and the duties of the cooking, and all the other things that take place there. You have to prioritize those things. If you look at our text, I want you to just notice in the context here, look at verse number 24. We see the first thing we see in this text is we see the can't or the cannot. Verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then it says, church, he what? Cannot serve God and mammon. You know what it's saying here? It's talking about it is impossible to serve two masters. You have to prioritize them. You will either serve the things that are contrary to God, or you will serve God. You will serve self and self-interest and self-aggrandizement, or you will serve the Savior, but you can't serve both. Huh? You can't. He's saying there you cannot serve. And at the end, really, he's talking about money. You cannot serve God and mammon. Thank God. Listen, I thank God for money. I really do. I thank God for money. I thank God for people that use their money for the Lord. Thank God. Hey, go back and look at some great businessmen. Look at JCPenney. You know, we look at JCPenney now, and forgive me, folks, I don't shop there. I'm sorry. There were some things several years ago, two women on a Mother's Day ad. I'm all set with that. But you know, JCPenney was a committed Christian. He was a committed Christian. I mean, there's a book we have in our bookstore. Haven't said much about it, but it's called Lines of a Layman. It's a fantastic book just on spiritual principles. Colgate was a devoted Christian. Literally, at one point of his life, he was giving 90% of his income to the work of God. Thank God for money. But listen, don't serve money. See, money makes a great servant and a terrible master. It says here, the cannot is, you cannot serve God and mammon. Secondly, not only do we see the cannot, but then in verses 25 through 32, we see the considerations. You see that phrase there, take no thought. Take no thought, or in verse number 25, and in verse number 28, why take ye thought? Verse number 31, take no thought. It's saying to consider some things. You know, many a Christian is constantly beset by the sin of worry. I said it right, sin. I know you don't like that. You know what worry is? It's unbelief trying to disguise itself. You say, why? Well, look what Jesus says here. He tells us some things to consider. The first thing he tells us to consider is that consider the fowls. Verse 25, therefore take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, what? The fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And then he says this, are ye not much better than they? You think about what God says here. Jesus Christ, the master illustrator, says, look, if you're worried about how your needs are going to be met, just look at the birds. Do you ever think of the food bill of all the birds in all the world? That's a lot, amen? You know what? The birds never have. They never have. Said the sparrow to the robin, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the robin to the sparrow, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. He says the first thing, if you're the considerations, he said, consider the fowls. Then in verses 27 through 31, he tells us to consider the flowers. He says there, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? Remember that when you were a kid and you'd have that little spot on your parents' house where they measured your growth? And we do it when we take the kids to Steak and Shake. There's a spot there where you can see how tall you are. And my kids are always going like this. I remember when we went to Disney and they were like, you know, I want to go on that ride. No, you can't go on the Tower of Terror or whatever it is because mom and dad aren't going on it either. So yeah, you can't. You got to be this tall. And they're hey, which of us by taking thought could add one cubit to our stature? How many of you remember Brother Fred's wife, Hazel, Miss Cassibel? 4'10", amen. And they used to say that she was 6'1 when they got married and then she settled down. Amen. That she said that all the time. I heard him say it once. Hey, not one of us can add one cubit to our stature. And then he goes on in verse 28. Why take ye thought for raiment? What's he saying? Why are you so worried about your clothes? Now again, proper to wear clothes. Proper to wear proper clothes. But to be always worried about clothes is what he's talking about here. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory, and if I could pause there, with all his money, with all his gold, with all that he had, was not arrayed like one of these. And then he says this, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? By the way, that's where you get the verse that worry is a sin. Because Jesus said that worry is little faith. Little faith becomes unbelief. And unbelief is sin. So he says here, consider the fowls. Consider the flowers. And really, verse 32 is it's the key verse in this whole text. It says, consider the Father. Consider the Father. He says there, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What's he talking about? Food, raiment, clothing, all those things. The things that we need in life. The things that we need. And then it says this, and I have this verse highlighted and double underlined in red in my Bible. This part. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. How many fathers do we have in the room? Just say amen. Amen. Provide for your children. Amen. Desire to be a blessing to your children. Help your children. If they had a need, you do your dead level best to meet it, as long as you didn't violate a biblical principle. Or you do your, and even then, you think about it because you're a dad. Your heavenly Father knows that you have needs. Your heavenly Father knows you need food. Your heavenly Father knows you need shelter. Your heavenly Father knows. So he says here, there's a cannot in verse 24. Verses 25 through 32, there's considerations. Consider the fowls, consider the flowers, consider the Father. And then verse 33 is the text of our message today. We have a command. We have a cannot, considerations, and we have a command in verse 33. Because you can't serve God and money. Because if you consider the fowls and the flowers and the Father, you'll not worry. What should we do? What's the command to us? What does it say? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The title of our message today is Priority Number One for Every Christian. Priority number one for every Christian. We gave a message last week, was a message for everyone. And we said, hey, everyone needs to be saved. Amen. Everyone can be saved. Amen. Everyone has to come the same way to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then our last point was everyone can know that they are saved. That was a message for everyone. Today is a message for Christians. But for every Christian. Priority number one for every Christian is right here in this text. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Number one this morning, I want to note and note of some the improper. Number one, the improper. It says, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Many Christians seek other things and put them ahead of God. I think of some that will put a career. They will seek first their career, and when they get to God, and they'll say things like, well, I'm busy pursuing my career. After all, don't you know that church is just for kids and little old ladies? I'm pursuing my career right now. And can I say this? There are many a career that would require that you leave your Christianity at home. It saddens me to hear of young people that I had some influence in their life and say, what are they doing now? Tending bar. Helping other people get drunk, Brother Horse, is what they're doing. But I put my career ahead of God. Don't do that. That's improper. It's improper. Many people do it. By the way, we use the bar as an example. There's lots of other examples of people putting their career ahead of God. Secondly, not only the improper of seeking first a career, but perhaps seeking first business interests. Can I say this? If you want a great business model, just look 30 miles up the road. They just put one in called Chick-fil-A. Matter of fact, I was thinking we ought to take a church trip up there. We'll fill two buses and get in that drive-thru line. I'd like 38 chicken sandwiches, please, and watch them come unglued. Hey, you know what? that I've been to that one up there twice now in my ways, and we had to wait line 10 minutes in a car line, and the food came like that, and I've heard people waiting over and over and over and over, and you know what? They're closed on Sunday. I think that's a good business model. Listen, I know we have several business people in the room. Just make up your mind. Make up your mind. I remember when I was a secular inspector and I was a very specific aerospace inspector for a very specific customer, Pratt & Whitney Canada. I'll never forget. They came to me and they said, "We've got parts coming in. These are hot parts. They got engines that are waiting for these parts to come in, and they're coming in on Sunday." And I said, "No." And I said, I'll make a bargain with you. If you can get them in on Saturday night, I'll come in at 11 o'clock on Saturday night and do them." And they did. Amazing how when you stand your ground. Now, there was somebody else, but they said that, and I knew what it was. It was a test. Is it God's day or is it not? Yes, it is. Hey, it's the Lord's day. Don't put your business interest. Don't seek ye first business. Don't seek ye first career. Some people, along with these two, seek ye first wealth. What? And sometimes they'll do it with a spiritual motive. They'll say, "Look, if I can get more wealth, I could give more to the church." I can't tell you the amount of people that have said to me through the years, "You know, Pastor, if I hit the lottery, I'm tithing." I mean, they've told me that so many times. You know, I have yet to see that $10 million tithe check come in. And then again, I wouldn't know if it did anyway. I don't ask. But I would assume that I would see that in the bulletin numbers. Listen to me. First of all, number one, don't play the lottery. It's gambling, and it's wicked, and it's wrong, and it's unjust gain. And whoever wins that on the back of many people that are just scrounging life, and it's so wrong, I could preach on it all day long. Don't do it. But secondly, you're not going to tithe off it. Stop, okay? Listen, many a worship service has been set aside for double time, for wealth. Now, you listen to me. I understand there are some of you, you get called in, you have to work, plain and simple. You just have to. Think about Brother Lawley at Lineman. We have bad weather. Brother Ken, he's going to be out. That's not all of us. That's not all of us. Wealth, business, career, ease. I come to Sunday school, Pastor, but man, it's just an hour early. I think it was the Christian comedian Tim Hawkins said, "Whoever wrote 'Easy Like Sunday Morning' never brought kids to church." Amen. Hey, if you can get here for church, listen to me for just a second. If you can get those little angels here for church at 10:30, you can get them here for 9:30. We got kids that sit in these rows right here that get themselves up. Right. After some real late night and early morning by their folks. But you know what? We seek first ease. We'll say, "Well, you know, I mean, in Sunday school, it's only Brother Jeff or Pastor. I mean, it's seek ye first the kingdom of God." I think about family can be put in an improper place. Sports, you can go on and on. Politics. I like what my friend Marty Schott said. He said this, "God should never be next." I like that statement. I wrote it in my Bible. God should never be next. So the improper there is when we seek other things ahead of God. The importance is found in the phrase, "Seek ye first." So number one, the improper. Number two, the importance. How do we implement priority number one in our lives? You say, "Okay, Pastor, you said seek ye first. How do I do that? I want to do that. I don't know of a Christian that says, you know, I want to put God second. I want to use God as a spare tire." I don't think any one of us says that in our hearts. But if we're not careful, if we don't put things into our lives that make Him first, He'll become second. So here's just a few things. Conform your life to His Word. Let the Word conform. You know, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Amen. holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, how do you renew your mind? I'll tell you, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Get in this book and say, you know what, I'm going to conform my life to this book. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You know, many a person has sat in a service just like this, enjoyed the special music. My goodness, that was fantastic this morning. Both specials were just awesome. And heard the word of God preached, but didn't do it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we're doers of the... You want to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Conform your life through His word. Secondly, not only to conform your life to His word, but number two, consecrate yourself to His service. The Bible says this, we're ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors of a foreign king in a foreign country. You say, why? Because heaven's our home and Jesus is our king, and we're just passing through. Amen. We are to consecrate ourselves to our service. I appreciate we had somebody in our church this week, and they came to me and they said, Pastor, I've got a problem. And I said, well, take a number. No, I didn't say that. Amen. They said, Pastor, I got a real problem. And I said, okay. And he said this, it's not a bad problem. And I went like this. Listen, pastors, people will say, I want to, Pastor, can I see you for a few minutes? It's usually not zippity-doo-dah, amen? It's usually something's going on in your life, and that's what your pastor's here for, part of it, amen? So this person said, Pastor, I need a place to serve in our church. And I just said, glory to God, amen? I said, I've got one for you, amen? Listen, consecrate yourself to service. Some people never serve because they never make that commitment to serve. By the way, if you're going to serve here, we need you to be faithful. You can't just be here when you're serving. Listen up now. You can't just be here when you're serving. You need to be here and get fed from the Word of God so that you can serve. Amen? So that you can have the strength to serve. And so, secondly, just this idea of importance here, not only conform your life to His Word, but consecrate yourself to His service. Well, I tell you, think about this. Thirdly, seek ye first the importance. Contribute your time, talents, and treasures to the work of God, to the church. To the church. Listen, We contribute with our presence. Oh, I thought about that today, and I've quoted this verse so many times. I think all pastors quote this verse. Romans 10:24 says, so let us provoke one another to love and good works. And then the context is the next verse says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approach. I don't know about you, during the singing today, during the handshaking today, I was glad I didn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I'm telling you, I watch and I'm shaking hands and I'm listening to the singing of you precious people, just lifting up your praises and voice. I thought, glory to God, amen. Hey, that's an easy way that we contribute to the church with our presence. I mentioned it so much last week, I'll not go down too long, but listen, you encourage somebody by being here. And I, by the way, I did hear this week from somebody, I won't say who, but somebody else says, I've been looking for opportunities for fellowship, but nobody stopped me. Nobody, hey, listen, those of us that have been members here a little while, let's take those blinders off a little bit. Take a look around. Take a look. You know, somebody needs fellowship. Somebody's going through a tough time. Just, I think about times in my life where a Christian would say, hey, let's just go for ice cream after service, or come on over to the house. It's a mess, but you can come over anyway and just have fellowship one with another. How important that is. We contribute with our presence. You know what something else we contribute to God's church with is our prayers. Our prayers. We have a prayer list that we put out every week, and I know some of you pray over that list. Miss Carol, by the way, Miss Carol Ann could tell you exactly how many prayer chains we've had this year. She writes every one of them down and prays for them. Amen. Telling you. She said to me one time, I was embarrassed. She said, Pastor, do you know how many prayer chains we've had this year? I said, oh my goodness, no. And she said, 75. And by the way, I want to know about this one and this one. Has this one been answered? And this one been answered? So, praise God. Pray one for another. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Listen, we contribute our time, talents, and treasure with our prayers and our presence. And then, you know, of course, what else? And it just fits the outline as we contribute with our pennies, don't we? We contribute with our funds, our money, that we contribute to the work of God. I'm thinking about next year, and you'll be getting a letter from me soon, within the next 10 days, talking about next year. The deacons and myself have been prioritizing many projects that we would like to do next year. We're going to need to raise some money to do it. There's so many things to do. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, it takes our pennies. It takes our envelopes. It takes our faithful giving. And who was I just talking? Brother Jack and I were talking this morning about something that had happened, and money had come back to Brother Jack for something. And listen, if you know Brother Jack, he does a lot of jobs for free. Right. He does. He just does. And I told him, I said, hey, the principle's the same. Give and it shall be given unto you. And why? So we can give again. Praise God. Amen. Somebody said, don't give till it hurts. They said, give till it feels good after it hurts. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The improper, the putting things before God, career, business, wealth, ease, pleasure, family, politics, more. The importance, conform your life to His Word, consecrate yourself to His service, contribute your time, talents, and treasure to His church, and then under the importance, a way to seek ye first the kingdom of God is commit to witness to the lost. Commit to witness to the lost. Just 2 weeks ago, we preached on hell. I wonder how many of us have thought about it since. Thought about our neighbor. I thought about our loved one. Hey, listen, Jesus said four times He gave the Great Commission. Five, really, gave the Great Commission if you include the book of Acts. I think the most vivid one is in Mark 16:15. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. People all around us need Christ. And I'll tell you what, we can't say we're seeking first the kingdom of God if we're not telling other people that there is a kingdom of God. The improper, the importance. And then you know what we see here? I love this. In verse 33, at the end, we see the immensity. Not only the improper, other things, seeking other things first, the importance of seeking first the kingdom of God, but the immensity. What does it say there at the end of verse number 33? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. One of our Bible college professors, he used to challenge us with the word all. And he would come up and he would say, do you know what all means in the Greek? And we'd just kind of, you know, when you're in Bible college, you're in a fog a lot of the time. You're not sleeping. And you know what all means in the Greek? And we just kind of look at him and he'd say, it means all, dummy. That's what he said. It means all, dummy. That's exactly what it means. Hey, listen, you got needs? Oh, yeah. Food, raiment. You got needs and you're worried about them? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Psalm 37:25, David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, I think about, let's go over. We don't travel a lot on Sunday morning. Let's go over to Philippians, though, and just read this passage. Many of us know this passage in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, the immensity here. All, it's talking about all things, adding all those things that we need. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 10 with me, please. And we know verse 8 and 9, just great, great verses there, talking about our thought life and how Paul was an example. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, Philippians 4:10, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. So here's a missionary, Brother Gerwitz, and he's out, and this church at Philippi, they were a blessing to him. Wherein you also were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Ladies and gentlemen, he had a financial need and they helped him. The church of Philippi did. It said, now ye Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Just imagine a missionary with one supporting church. But it was the church at Philippi. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift. I could speak for all missionaries right here. Not that they desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But I have all in abound and in full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can I say this? I could look at that passage and surmise very quickly, Brother Hirth, that the church at Philippi was seeking first the kingdom of God. No, they were. Absolutely they were. No doubt about it. So you know what Paul said? When you're seeking first the kingdom of God, he's just echoing what Jesus said. Jesus said, all these things should be added unto you. What did the Apostle Paul say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit right there? He said, my God shall supply all your need. I think of the verse in Romans. And it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, how fickle we can be. We can trust, and I'm right there with you. I say we. We can trust the Lord Jesus with our never-dying soul. But we can't trust him for today's needs. Come on now, help me. Is that amen or oh me? I think it's both, amen. The book of Romans, I think it really settles the argument. I'm just going to read one more verse. And it's Romans 8:32. It was Dr. Malone's favorite verse. It says this, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hey, listen to this. Simple, simple. Obedience equals God's provision. Obedience. Seek ye. There's some determination there, huh? Seek ye. Actually, it has to actually be sought. We don't naturally move toward the things of God. We have to seek them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Pastor Mark's going to come to the piano in just a moment. You know what? I think he's probably downstairs. Brother Gerwitz, would you come if you could? 419 is the hymn. Folks, the story is told by a lady named Sevilla Martin. Sevilla Martin. And the thought is this. She wrote a hymn when she was going through a difficult time. She wrote the hymn of resting in God's care. And that is her husband, the Reverend W. Stillman Martin, was a well-known Baptist evangelist. One Sunday in 1904, Mrs. Martin became ill and suddenly was unable to accompany her husband to his preaching assignment some distance away. As Mr. Martin considered canceling his trip, their young son exclaimed, Father, don't you think that if God wants you to preach today, he will take care of mother while you're away? Returning that evening, after seeing several people profess Christ as Savior, Mr. Martin found his wife greatly improved and busily writing this text, which has been suggested by her son's words. The same evening, Stillman Martin composed the music, providing God's people with an endearing hymn that has ministered to hurting hearts. And it goes like this: "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fear your path assail, God will take care of you." And I love this one: "All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breast. God will take care of you." The number, priority number one, is seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'll say this: if you'll take care of God's business, He'll take care of yours. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for Your goodness to us and Your blessings.